I'm telling you, there are three ways people build wealth in America. There's just these three big buckets of where people really build wealth and live on in retirement. And it's real estate investing, which needs to be in your estate plan, business ownership for you small business owners, and it is your retirement accounts. There's $38 trillion in retirement accounts, okay? This is where all the money's at. We want to make sure the right people get it. Welcome, everyone, to the Directed IRA podcast. This is Matt Sorensen, joined by my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark J. Kohler.
Thank you.
We are excited to be with you today. We got an amazing topic. This podcast is all about talking about how to build your retirement account. But today we want to talk about an important component to that of who gets it when you die.
Or a.k.a. who's your daddy?
Is that the subtitle? Okay. That's the subtext to that.
Yeah. So this is a tough show because someone dies in this example. It's you. So I hate to break it to you.
We will all die.
Forever. Yes, we're all going to die. You're not going to live forever. So, oh my gosh, I want to start with a story, but our producers tell us not to do that. They're like, get right into it.
Yeah.
So let's get a little content out, and I've got a great little
Let me get into it here. Story. What's super important you need to know on the front end of this is I don't care what you have in a will or if you don't have one. I don't care if you have a trust. That has nothing to do with who's getting your IRA or 401k if you don't get the beneficiary designation right. Whenever you set up an IRA, and every day when we're doing this at Directed IRA, we set up over 50 accounts alone yesterday. Every one of those people had to say who was their beneficiary when they die, who gets their account when they die. And we're going to go through the options, your spouse, your kids. We're going to go through that common stuff. But guys, this is not happening on your will. This is not happening in your trust. You name it, and the controlling document is your beneficiary designation. And the 401k is even more scary because some of you worked at a company for 20 years and may have been divorced twice already or have some kids you want, didn't want to get a dime of it, that you need to update this stuff.
Yep. And this also correlates to the life insurance designations. It's the same rule. Yeah. You can't control a life insurance policy with a will or a trust. And the same thing goes for retirement accounts and health savings accounts, Coverdell accounts, 529 accounts. You've got to be on top of this. So hopefully this is a great wake-up call for many of you to do a little personal audit, a little beneficiary audit is what we like to call it. And I'm getting, in my older years, more and more organized with a nice little spreadsheet on my laptop that's password protected that's got a picture of my assets, my businesses, my wealth, and it's also got a connected Excel spreadsheet. And this is a good one to say, here are the different accounts I have. Here's the different bank accounts, retirement accounts, investment accounts, brokerage accounts, crypto wallets, exchanges. All of that should be on some spreadsheet where you have a couple people, significant other or a trustee, for you to know where that spreadsheet's at with a lot of this information that you're updating regularly. Now, that was a big picture point, but it's like that's what we're trying to get you to do here. Let's talk about what this means. But if you feel overwhelmed, just start with a simple spreadsheet on your laptop and start populating this when you're staying up late watching TV.
Yeah. And if this has got you thinking about, oh man, my estate plan entirely, I haven't done this. I haven't got my crap together on this. Who is going to get my stuff? I haven't thought this through. I need to get it done. I'm redoing mine right now, actually. Take some action right now. We do this every day in our law firm at KQS Lawyers. We help clients across the country set up their estate plans, do the trust, the powers of attorney, who gets what, whatever conditions or restrictions you want to put on it. And the retirement accounts are a big component of it. Because I'm telling you, there's three ways people build wealth in America. There's just these three big buckets of where people really build wealth and live on in retirement. And it's real estate investing, which needs to be in your estate plan. It's business ownership for you small business owners. And it is your retirement accounts. There's $38 trillion in retirement accounts. Okay. This is where all the money's at. We want to make sure the right people get it.
All right. So quick, brief story. And Matt's heard me tell it before. It was one of the classic cases in California about 15 years ago. And it happens every year around the country. This was a case that went to the Supreme Court, and it just hit it, put the nail in the coffin, if you will. Ooh.
I think the nail was already in the coffin in this example.
So guy dies on the golf course, yada, yada. His current wife goes in to claim the life insurance policy, gets hold of the company. You know, I could tell the story with a little more a colorful commentary, and I do oftentimes. It's a great case. But the nutshell is the current wife, in a nutshell, she went to go claim the life insurance policy, and they inform her, your name is not the beneficiary. And she's like, who is it? Oh, it was the woman your current husband was married to for about 10 minutes 30 years ago. And her name's on the policy. And it was buried in there from this prior employment from years ago. And it just kind of got carried forward, never looked at, never reviewed. And she's like, ah, not a big deal. I'll call her up. She totally understands. I've been his wife for the last 25 years. Of course she's going to sign over that little piece of paper and give me my money. Well, 2 years later in the Supreme Court, nope. The beneficiary designation controls. We don't care about how long you've been married, the will, the trust, nothing matters but that one little sheet of paper that he filled out 30 years ago. Your first wife got all the money. So this, as again, is a great example of why this really matters.
Yeah. And so let's go over the common examples here. The spouse, as we were just teeing it up there, is generally, if you have one, is going to be the first person you want to list as the beneficiary on your IRA or 401k. There's a reason for that. And the reason is the surviving spouse can do what's called a spousal rollover. It's super simple, whether this is a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA, a 401k, and that account gets rolled over into a new account in the surviving spouse's name.
They don't have to take out money. There's no penalty.
Exactly.
There's
no distribution rules. It just falls under whatever their age is at. Are they an RMD and they got to start taking money out or not? It's simple.
Roth to Roth, traditional to traditional. It's just the way to go. If you're married, mm-hmm. you want your spouse to be the primary beneficiary. And I'd say that's step one.
That's step one.
Whoa. I'm going to back up. Yeah. Step one, you got to figure out who you want to be your beneficiaries. And if you are married and there's some concerns there, this may be a time to reevaluate that. But if you want to share it with kids or because before you go start and changing the beneficiaries, you better have a reality check of what you want.
Yeah. And let me say this. Most states have a law that says on your retirement account, if you don't list your spouse needs to have consented to that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you can't just say, oh, I have a spouse, but they're not going to be the beneficiary of my retirement account. Now, even on our beneficiary designation forms, whether you're at Schwab or Fidelity, or I don't care where your account's at, you can pick and say, I have a spouse, but I'm not electing them to be my beneficiary. That's okay. You might have other assets you're planning for them. And for some tax planning reasons, you might want to do it this way. But just know that the underlying when you're authorizing this in that little language, you're probably not reading the whole paragraph. Well, again, this is whether you're a directed IRA or Fidelity or whatever, it says, and your spouse has consented to this.
Yep, I love it. Now, I'm going to give a creative idea. Now, we've got another podcast. It's on the heels of this one. We'd like to encourage you to listen to, titled, What to Do If I Inherit an IRA or 401k. So if some of you are already asking, well, what would my kids do or what's my spouse going to do on this role? That's a topic for the next podcast. Yeah. But let's just continue to talk about this reason why you're doing this and some creative ideas. So let's say you're married, it's your spouse. Cool. Who's going to be the backup beneficiary? The contingent beneficiary, as it's often termed. Because sometimes a husband and wife might pass away in an accident, you never know. And who's going to be the backup? Well, most agents, because they don't want to wait around for an answer, will say, let's just make your kids the contingent beneficiaries three ways or two ways, depending how many kids you have. Well, how old are those kids? Do you want them to just end up with this big pot of gold thrown in their lap at age 16, 14, 10 years old? Maybe they're 26 and still act like they're 16. So a lot of times we'll have clients make their trust the contingent beneficiary, where a trustee can divvy out that money to the kids with some rules. And that's got to be a part of the conversation, is the contingent beneficiary.
Yeah, and just the mechanics on this, and this is a directed IRA rule, and every other custodian is going to do this. I just want to let you know there's some procedural pieces to this. Yes, we have my decisions. There's the estate planning concept of the trust. I love that spouse first, trust second is the way to go. You're going to need to provide a copy of your trust, and not just your certificate of trust, because your IRA custodian, your 401k provider, needs to know when you die who gets it. And your certificate of trust likely doesn't say the beneficiaries on it. It's going to say the trustee and the date of the trust. And so that actual trust document does need to go to your retirement account custodian. And they just save it in their records and their files. They're required to get it anyways. And then when that trustee pops up later after you've passed, we're going to have the trust document there. Now, it could have been amended later and stuff. We can gather that and that can get figured out. But just know you're going to need to provide a copy of the trust.
Now, if you want to be private about this, you certainly are entitled to do so. You may say, I'm married or not. I want the trust to be the primary or the contingent. but I don't want my kids to know what's coming their way, or my brother or my sister, or you may even choose a charity as your contingent beneficiary. You can do that. So you're going to choose your level of privacy. If you're not concerned about privacy, I think it's helpful to let them know, because you want them to not have to go on a wild goose chase if and when you pass away. Not if, but when you pass away, you don't want them to be trying to figure all this out. Probably the best person to tell is the trustee of your trust or your executor of your will. Let them know, hey, I've appointed you to do this job. And by the way, I've went through and done an update of all my beneficiaries. And by the way, if anything happens to me, here's how you get into my computer and here's how you get to this important list. And you may want to print it out once a year and just give them a copy. We get so protective of our passwords. Well, guess what? If you die tomorrow, who the heck's going to get into your stuff and know how to access it? It could be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Be super careful.
I think even more problematic than that is they don't even know what accounts you have. Yeah. So many spouses or even particularly kids have no idea. The families don't talk about their money and where their accounts are and how much it is and the property they own. They just don't, unfortunately. And so this is why – doing an estate plan, having good records and stuff for this. I love looping in the trustee, and your retirement accounts are a huge piece of it. Okay, so we know the beneficiary designation is what matters most. We've decided who to list as the beneficiary. If you got a spouse, we went through that. Using a trust if you have it, particularly if you have younger kids, is important. Now, you might be like, you know, my kids are in their 40s already. They're pretty well off. I want them to just get it directly rather than through the trust. You could do that. I like listing the trust second, but we still see that pretty often. Now, when you do pass away, there is going to be an inherit account created, and we're going to have another podcast right following this one that goes over that. Now, what happens when someone does pass away? Yep. What is the mechanisms on that when they receive this? But the reason I want to talk about why it's important is you're setting your family up for success for the long haul. They can inherit your account and still keep investing it. That's the thing I want you to know for your own account. I want to talk about the kids inheriting accounts. We have so many people getting inherited, sometimes called beneficiary IRAs. But for you, I want you to think about, my spouse can take this over and a spouse will roll over, or my kids can get it in an inherited account and keep the same tax protections. If this is a Roth account, they could keep investing it for another 10 years and keep deferring the taxes and have a really cool tax strategy. So teach them what you have, particularly if you're self-directing, let them know about it. Do you want them to liquidate all the real estate or the private investments you have to go buy a mutual fund? Bring them along the journey with you. Teach them.
Yes. Now, this is so good. And let's get creative here. We had a client just, I think, a year ago, a grandma wanting to leave her 8 grandchildren a Roth IRA. And so she was debated, should I open 8 Roth IRAs and make 8 different beneficiaries? But then that would be unwieldy because now she's investing 8 different accounts for 8 different kids to get. But she chose ultimately to say, all right, I'm going to open 1 Roth account and then just create 8 beneficiaries to be divided 8 ways. That way, she's taking care of these 8 grandkids in a unique way. Her husband had passed on, and she's like, I can invest this Roth IRA and know they're going to all get this inherited Roth that they can invest for 10 more years. Listen to the next podcast. Another idea that I think is really powerful is using the trust with the big picture. For example, let's say we have a client that has a farm, a second home, maybe some rental property, and they've got 4 kids. 2 of those kids really want the real estate. 2 of the kids would hate having the real estate and would rather have a brokerage account or a self-directed account. So if you start trying to say, oh, I'm going to make these kids the beneficiary of, or not the beneficiary, yeah, I'm going to make them a part owner of my LLC on my real estate, or I'm going to have some sort of LLC contingent thing. And then over here, I'm going to make these kids the beneficiary of my IRAs, but it's not going to be equal. And it's like, it can get really complicated trying to create this equality amongst your kids. Make sure your LLCs that own the real estate are owned by the trust. Make the beneficiary of your retirement accounts the trust. And then you tell your trustee, hey, make it fair. These kids might want real estate. These might want retirement accounts. Add it all up and divide it in the most equitable manner. then you're taking it away from these automatic distributions from these brokerage accounts where all they see is a name. But if you make the trust the beneficiary, you can let your trustee sort things out and use the money in the retirement accounts to offset other things you might give to another kid. Little advanced topic, but the creativity.
Yeah. One last point I want to make, and I had this conversation with a high net worth client recently. This client had a pretty large estate. They're over the estate tax exemption, okay? And they had a couple $1 million in retirement accounts as well. And one of the things he was talking about is, how do I keep my estate below the estate tax exemption, which is like $25 million for a married couple now? And to his credit, he's over that, you know? So he's got these, you know, he's got these problems in his life. So, one of the things we talked about was, and what he's doing right now, is converting all of his traditional accounts to Roth. Now, why would he do that? Mm. Because there's two reasons why. One is, it's going to cost taxes, which he's going to pay out of his estate, that lowers the value of it further down the $25 million. And he's got over a couple $1 million in accounts. So this is like a $500,000 check at least, okay, at least, yeah. Going to the IRS and to the state. But the other thing is now his kids are going to inherit a tax-free account. They get a Roth account, but they take it at the same value they would a traditional account. If I get to inherit a $100,000 traditional account or a $70,000 Roth account, I would take the $70,000 Roth account any day, because when I make money on that and I take that $70,000 out, I pay zero taxes. But that $100,000 traditional account, when your beneficiary inherits that account, what happens? They pay taxes, they draw it out. So they don't really get $100,000. If they're in a 30% tax bracket, they only get 70. Man, they got some state tax maybe at a 5 or 10%. Maybe they're in California at 10%. They're only getting $60,000. So that was a cool little tax strategy, because it reduces estate for tax planning purposes. He did have a large estate. Not everyone has that problem. But the second that might be more common for everyone else is, they got to inherit the Roth accounts, and they got to get that additional tax-free growth. And so we're going to go over that, what happens when you inherit a Roth or a traditional, the beneficiary IRAs, inherited IRAs, in the next podcast. But I just want to throw that out there for context for any of you planning your estate here and what to pass on.
Excellent point, Matt. And I just think this topic is just not talked about enough, because we open these accounts, we open up life insurance policies, we name our beneficiary, and then it's just out of sight, out of mind. And the challenge I want to give all of you is to recognize that our successful clients, and Matt and I have both done 10,000 consultations in our career and continuing to do so. And when we meet with clients that are really successful, they're dialed in financially, they've got great passive income, they're people that take a proactive approach to their planning. They don't know it all, but they know enough. Mm-hmm. And they have a good balance sheet. They know what their P&L is. They know who their beneficiaries are. They have an estate plan. And this last week, I was at a conference listening to some really big influencers, successful people, and in business and athletics and in entertainment. And each one of them had a common theme, and that was a complete understanding as to their purpose, their goals, very clear on what their objectives were, and they were manifesting it. They were living it. And when we can get clear on what we have and where we want to go, it just makes it easier. And not taking this stuff seriously really undermines your level of success.
Yeah. And so if you're thinking, man, I don't know who's on my beneficiary designations, this is the time to start calling and taking action and make sure it is up to date. Let's verify it. If you're not certain, if you're like, I'm pretty sure is your answer, that's not good enough. Pretty sure is not good enough. I want you to sleep good at night and know that if something happens to you one day, that the right people that you love, that you've worked so hard for to build this money in your retirement account, are going to get it. And they're getting the strategic way too. Also, think about the estate plan. If you don't have one, get over to our law firm, KQS Lawyers. We're setting up estate plans every day for clients across the country. Our team can help you think about everything in your estate. Get it planned and get it done in a document that's compliant in all 50 states, and that also takes into account all of your wishes. We want to make sure you guys got invited to the Self-Directed IRA Summit. This is a one-day event, the best way to quickly learn how to take control of your retirement using an IRA or 401k to invest in assets you know and love, like real estate, private companies, notes, not just the stock market.
And we hold this conference every year. You can come in person or attend from a virtual format and have a great time associating with others that are in the same community, the same tribe, and learn what's working and how to do it. It's coming up in the very near future. The link's down below. It'll be in Dallas. And again, we would welcome you in person. We got a rock band on the last night. This
party's good. Yeah, we got a rock band. Spoiler alert, Mark and I make it on stage. So we'll see how that goes. But get over to SDIRASummit.com. You can register there. We'll see you in Dallas.